Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Pro Wrestling Index. In this one, we're going to be covering some news and pretend that I've watched Raw and SmackDown, because I have not, but I need to host, and I will let people who've actually watched it, or some of it, talk about it, but I'm here to ask questions, people, and react to some stuff that I've just been told that's happened on TV, which sounds almost good, but I'll introduce my guests and then we'll get into the show. Tadiwa, how are you doing?
Hey, Gar.
You've actually watched the most of TV. How has it been post-Mania?
Yeah, it's been quite interesting, especially without the fans during the Rona era. I think quite a lot of the wrestlers have struggled with it. They're not used to being, you know, in empty arenas, maybe in arenas with not lots of people in it. But then in those situations, they weren't being trained or forced to look at the hard cameras. Where in this situation, there's no one to feed off, and you have to remember where all the cameras are so that you can kind of engage with the audience. But and then I think also creative has not been good, which hasn't helped the situation. So it's just compiling on what is a show that seems to be struggling at the moment.
I was going to say, and by interesting, do you actually mean shite? But you seem to answer that much more politely. Alex, you seem to kind of be in between me and Tadeo, which sounds weird, but let's roll with it. You kind of caught up with NXT and stuff like that, but have you been watching the main shows? Or have you done what I've done and just went, well, WrestleMania was kind of the full stop, and I don't care till there's people back?
Idealistically, I've been very much your side of things. I don't really care. But I DVR them every week, so I've got them on my Foxtel box. And I usually, like, on a normal week, I'd go Monday, watch Raw, maybe the day after, maybe the night after, whatever. NXT, usually the night of, and SmackDown, because it's on Saturday morning, my time. I usually, if I can be bothered, I'll watch it. The last sort of 6 months, very much have not been able to be bothered because it's crap, and sort of watch it later on. Whereas now I've sort of gone, I'm going 2 week chunk by 2 week chunk. So today I caught up on like the last 2 weeks of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown all in one sort of afternoon, which is good because I could fast forward through a lot of it. And I just generally deem how well WWE are doing creatively by how much I have to fast forward through, and I've had to fast forward through a lot of the last few weeks just because it's not even that it's no, like, their creative is bad, but I mean, the creative is worse than NXT and AEW, fair enough. But even I even tried watching AEW a couple of weeks ago, and then I tried watching it again today because I was in a wrestling mood. It's just difficult to watch wrestling when there is so little, seemingly so little stakes. And basically WWE's main shows have been completely centered around the Money in the Bank match, other than the two main title matches and sort of Otis and Mandy, but that's bled into Money in the Bank now. It's difficult to care about storylines when they're not really offering you many stories it all seems to be centered around Money in the Bank, whereas usually Money in the Bank is a big four pay-per-view now, or big five, depending on your perspective. It is huge now. And I don't know, I'm so used to WrestleMania, they were able to still captivate you with, look at this feud, and this feud, and this feud, and this feud. And I think that helped, whereas now there's a lot of apathy, I think, in terms of the fan base, in terms of creative, in terms of scrambling to get people. And yeah, the wrestling itself is not great. Some matches you'd be like, oh, I'm going to watch this. This looks great. But the lack of fans really hamper that. Ray versus Murphy was a great match. Yeah, I mean, there's been a few in NXT, but they've not been great. NXT has been more about the character work, really. And AEW, aside from that absolute monstrosity that was Cody versus Darby Allin, that was terrible, has sort of been similar to NXT, which is sort of good, but you're mostly focusing on the character work rather than the actual match quality. I think that WWE is suffering from not really having much character work, I guess, would be the way I summate it.
Yeah, it's certainly been strained. I mean, I've seen the odd highlights. I mean, we were just talking before as well, like, giving the New Day the titles, the SmackDown after, when we praised the ladder match at WrestleMania and just kind of screw it off. And as we imagined, because Miz was ill. He got punished because he was ill, probably. But it just seems so strange, and we'll probably be doing a Money in the Bank preview next week. But this one, as I said, is mainly going to be about news. So let's just get into it. I mean, this is going to be very varied. There's going to be stuff about wrestlers, stuff about the WWE, financials, and all that jazz. But the first news story, and thank you to do for the prep, doing my job. WWE and top company officials have been hit with multiple class action lawsuits on behalf of shareholders, plus rumoured scale of the company to ESPN. Let's talk about the status of WWE and the lawsuits and stuff like that. I mean, what do you make of the rumoured takeover and stuff? Because, I mean, WWE, we didn't get a pod to talk about all the sackings and stuff like that, but financials, with the XFL failure and stuff like that, again, WWE doesn't seem to be in the strongest position financially, albeit sacking all those people is a Goldberg appearance anyway, but it's been a strange couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's just been compounded with the XFL bankruptcy and filing Chapter 11, all that. It's a combination of a lot of things, a lot of small things that have been happening that we've all, I think, heard about, spoken about, complained about for well over a year now in WWE, whether it's the whole fact of just being in an agreement with the Saudi government, having to have the Saudi shows, the commotion that happened there when some of the wrestlers were held up in a plane, and, you know, the official word was that it was a mechanical issue with the plane that they were trying to sort out. The unofficial point of view, you know, is that WWE had cut off the feed for Saudi Arabia during the show because they hadn't been paid yet. So, you know, stuff like that has gone on. And then you look at also just some of the decisions they've made in terms of getting a deal for, you know, the Middle East and Africa. It seems like the fact that that's taken so long to come about has been a real, real issue for a lot of the shareholders. I think this has been going on for over a year now, where WWE had been, you know, touting that they were trying to negotiate a deal for the MENA region and trying to secure what would be a lucrative TV deal. And that's just dragged on and dragged on. And then talks have been, you know, postponed and then cancelled and then brought back. And so it's just a whole lot of things, not only on the screen that we're watching in terms of creative not being very good, but from a business side of things, it looks like there's a lot of worrying things that are going on in the company that shareholders are starting to pick up on. And whether or not these things do reach a critical stage will be interesting to see. You can just imagine the depositions that would come out of that and the discovery, and some of the, you know, if let's, you know, just imagine Vince McMahon has to get on a stand. you can just imagine what he would be hounded on. So I think maybe from that perspective, considering all that's going on at the moment in terms of all these lawsuits, there are quite a few of them. I just don't see WWE getting sold right at this moment, purely because I don't know if, you know, someone that's going to be buying it. It's rumored, you know, Disney are quite keen on it, and I think they own ESPN. So I don't know if they would be keen to come in with all of this sort of stink at the moment. I don't know if you want to be associated with that, or maybe wait until this plays out and you could probably buy WWE a lot cheaper. And then in terms of WWE themselves selling, from Vince's perspective, I would imagine he'd want the share price to go up a bit more. I think it's been hovering in and around the 40s over the last week. And we know it reached the heights of $100 a share. I don't know if it's going to get to that high, but maybe around 60, 70, maybe would be a time he'd be looking to sell. So I don't know. It seems like a lot of headaches for Vince McMahon at the moment. And when you look at then what's happening in the ring, creative wise, he's got so much on his plate out of the ring that I think it's bleeding into his in-ring in terms of decision-making and stuff.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I mean, there's always rumors about WWE being sold and stuff like that. But, Alex, what do you make about the Disney via ESPN links? Because, I mean, I'm sure Paul Heyman once said ECW was linked with Disney. I'm pretty sure he said that once, which sounds very strange considering what ECW was. But if that's true, I mean, Disney might have a long-term interest in getting into the wrestling business. And now that Disney pretty much just acquires everything entertainment-wise from Marvel, they just bought Fox and stuff like that. I mean, is WWE another one for the Thanos glove?
Maybe. It's important to say that Disney don't own the Fox that have a TV deal WWE. That's a separate entity. That's Murdoch. Murdoch's Fox. Oh, wait, no, sorry, the other way around. Yeah. The important thing in any sale, I think, will be the share price. Like Taddy said, I think there's almost no chance of a sale happening this year because Vince, if you believe dirt sheets, and obviously this rumor is filled with a lot more complexity than at first glance, but he's had offers in the past. I'd imagine Disney probably would have been one of them because their sort of monopolization of the entertainment industry has been prevalent for a while. And that's not monopolization in a bad way at all, because you still
Disney Plus needs content.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Disneyfication, which, I mean, some people do see it as a bad thing, but certainly in terms of not homogenizing everything together, it's not necessarily a bad thing. So the whole idea that Disney would Disneyfy WWE is probably nonsense. I think they just hire the right people to run it in the same way they did Marvel, the same way they've done.
It can go two ways. It can go Star Wars, or it can go Marvel, which is great.
Yeah, but that's the difference between Kevin Feige and Kathleen Kennedy, right? The difference between who you hire to put in place. Disney would do the same thing.
Do you not think they'll do something that the UFC did, where Dana White remained the president after selling the company?
I
would see Triple H. Yeah, I don't think they'd institute Vince. I think whoever buys it would be savvy enough to understand that. Yes, Vince is a genius, but he was at the helm when this whole incredible dip has taken place, and Hunter has got something that Vince doesn't, which is credit in the bank. I mean, Vince will always have credit in the bank, because I guarantee the day he retires, we will be doing a podcast being like, yeah, he was terrible, but Jesus Christ, this wouldn't have happened without him. That being said, if there is any impending takeover, and it's not going to happen this year, but if there is an impending takeover / buyout, I would bet a lot of money that Triple H would be the figurehead of whatever new revolutionary idea is coming. But again, there's just so much complexity in terms of WWE being a publicly traded company that I'm always skeptical about buyout deals. The one thing I am sort of understandable of slash almost think it's guaranteed is that some of these shareholders are going to sue WWE, maybe not even for legitimate things, but I think these shareholders will have seen what the COVID era has done to WWE, its shares, its stocks, its attendances, its money making, and seeing the writing on the wall with the amount of people being released, and they'll want some sort of recompense for sort of the circumstances. The other interesting thing I think that I don't think it was in the run sheet, but it's only really happening over the last sort of few hours / 12, 24 hours, is a fair few people are being furloughed. So IRS has been furloughed. I just saw on Twitter. The producers, there are a few producers who we thought might have been furloughed but they were like, the dirt sheets came out and said, oh, he's left, he's gone from WWE. And then someone else came out and said, oh, hang on, but he's still on this employees page. And so the idea was, yeah, they've been furloughed. So now I think we're going to see a bit more clarity with regards to the writers, the producers, the backstage people who may have been furloughed rather than let go. And again, this all points to WWE hemorrhaging money at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be interesting if Disney did get their hands on WWE. If it went the Marvel route of being good, I think it'd be excellent. But can it get? I mean, would it just go straight back to the '80s if it went like proper Disneyfied? Would it just be Hulk Hogan or the new Hulk Hogan just absolutely chatting shit about vitamins and fucking vegetables and bullshit?
That's the thing. It's so, like, it surely can't, because if there's one way to drive WWE further into the ground, it would be to Disneyfy it. That's sort of the complete opposite of what the normal fan wants.
Very true. Very true. It would be interesting if I mean, Disney will not stop till they own everything. Like, Warner Brothers is next after WWE, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? We say, like, oh, homogenization, Disneyfication, that sucks. That's a total monopoly. But at the same time, anyone who's watched Warner Brothers films in the last 5 years is like, yes, please buy it. Stick someone who's good at making movies in charge of it and actually give us something that, like, give us good content.
Just so get Batman.
I doubt they'll... Hey?
Just get Batman, please.
Just give us a good Batman film, for the love of God.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, how much resistance could you put up to a WWE sale on moral grounds if they come in and suddenly the storytelling is long-term, like NXT, and the presentation is crisp and they actually reference their history, and like, wrestling fans will always go along with who gives them what they want. Which is why I think what you said before was very true, and the whole idea that you can't criticize AEW because they're seen as giving us what we want. So the whole idea of any takeover or any lawsuit, it's like, yes, please, we want to rage against the machine. We want to, you know, turn out against the people who aren't listening to us. Well, how long is it going to take before we start to sort of see the results of that, and WWE starting to say, okay, We have to arrest this slide. Post-COVID, we have to get the fans on side because we need to build up our ratings and whatever. So I don't know. I have this idea in my head that might be fanciful, but with all the lawsuits and all the ratings and everything, I just have a distinct impression that Vince is going to cede even more control once we're all out of this and sort of say, okay, fix it.
So we know when Roman's beating The Fiend for the title. dear. So kind of leading on, it's kind of similar-ish news. A class action lawsuit accusing the company of making materially false and or misleading statements and or failing to disclose that they perpetrated a fraudulent scheme. So today, would you want to explain this a bit more than what I can?
Yeah, no, it's basically in terms of the, you know, the main board guys and the executives in WWE, they've got a duty to the shareholders to steer the company in a way that is, you know, taking into account shareholders, taking into account employees, taking into account other, you know, third parties that have a vested interest in the company. And effectively what the lawsuit is is speaking to. And you know, the interesting thing is there are quite a few lawsuits that were filed all at the same time or around the similar time. You know, it's just alleging that the executives aren't handling the business side of things in the most responsible way. And the shareholders are worried about it. And we've spoken about a few of the complaints with regards to, for example, the, you know, just being involved in the Saudi government breakdown of negotiations, the fact about the broadcasting deal, which has taken quite a while. There's also been issues with regards to when some of the executives have sold some of their shares in the company. And, you know, there are allegations in some of these actions with regards to, you know, they've sold them and basically at inflated prices. They've allowed the prices to go up and then sell them. And then the prices, you know, the value of those stock then get reduced by quite a bit, which are quite serious allegations when you think about it. And then also just the overall, over the past year, how much the stock has gone down. As we said, it reached over $100 per share. It went down as low as, if I'm not mistaken, around the 20s, 20s or 30s. So that's quite a drop in over a year period. So yeah, there's quite a lot to answer for. And then obviously, I haven't seen one where it mentions the XFL, but the fact that I would need to read through the actual documents and the filings. But in terms of WWE's involvement in XFL, Vince has said on some of the shareholder calls that they hold every quarter, he's mentioned the fact that WWE isn't, you know, involved with XFL. It's a separate entity. And then as a result of XFL filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, it turns out that XFL... Basically, WWE has some involvement in XFL, but the way that they've garnered the deal is that WWE sold the rights to the previous XFL so that this current version of XFL could use the naming rights and the facilities and all of the stuff that had already been set up. And that was, you know, the shares in XFL were payment for that. So there are clever ways of doing it, and whether or not this was just an in a right way, I'm sure a court of law would be coming up to it. And then on a personal level, I know Vince is being sued by the former commissioner of the XFL because effectively he was guaranteed, I think, around $20 million over the course of 5 years of his contract. And just before the company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, he got fired, which would then cancel any payments that were due to him as a result of that contract. So I know he was quite upset about that, and he's pursuing legal action against Vince himself. So yeah, there's just a whole bunch of things that they're having to deal with from that end. So I'm sure their lawyers are going to be quite busy.
Oh, they're never one for a quiet period, are they? Never one for controversy, other WWE. But yeah, thank you for that, Tadeo, for the detail. So now we're on to our next version. I might have to put some theme music in here for Corona News. So America's handling coronavirus well. Dear, we've had a person dressed up as a Grim Reaper yesterday on the news.
He was a lawyer as well, wasn't
yep.
he?
Yeah. God, he's going to be president someday. Jesus Christ. But Alex, the continued... I mean, what would you... We've probably discussed this on previous pods, but as the corona situation or pandemic develops, is it still just baffling that these shows are going ahead? Because, I mean, America's handled... I say America. Trump's handled this so badly, like, pretty much... just pretty much ignoring it and not believing in it and handing it, what is he, handed over power to the governors and stuff like that, and we've seen Florida and open up beaches and stuff like that. But the fact that WWE, they're going through all this trouble to make a pretty shit product, as we talked about at the start. I mean, what do you make of it? Because there's some talent, we talk about Sami Zayn, but some talent not wanting to perform because it's not safe, let's be honest. But what do you make of this situation now, a few weeks on?
Yeah, I'd assume there's a fair few talents who just refuse to take part for fear of their own, obviously, safety. On one hand, I understand that they're taking every precaution in the book, and it seems the more that Trump says, no, we're fine, we can be a bit more lax, we can be a bit more safe, the more WWE seems to ramp up its security measures. So this week's tapings, the wrestlers had to wait outside, get ready outside, outside the building. They were fully socially distanced, obviously, until they get in the ring. And then after every match, the mat was replaced and the ropes were completely antiseptically rubbed down. So they seem to be more and more wary of it, which is interesting. Because on the flip side, and my personal belief is, these shows shouldn't really be going on. I understand the need for entertainment. I appreciate what they're doing. And I also understand that it's not genuinely WWE or AEW's choice. It's that both companies have signed relatively recent TV deals, significant TV deals that would probably be compromised if they went off the air. And that is something they can't afford right now. And they've already had to cull this roster. And on one hand, you really feel sorry for all these people who've been left without a job. But on the other hand, you're like, well, I understand why they had to do it, because there'd probably be more cullings if they weren't still getting the TV money. And these are sort of, with the biggest respect in the world, these are the cullings that you would have expected if you had to say. I mean, we had a conversation about it a month ago when we were talking to WrestleMania podcast, like if WWE have to release people, if there needs to be a purge of the roster because it's too big, who would it be? And I reckon every name we read out then probably got released, which is a shame when it hits you hard, but this is the reality we're having to live in now, and it sucks. So if you asked me, if all things were equal and all things could, if the WWE was in a country where their workers could get complete pay and they wouldn't have to be worried about that, and it wasn't so late-stage capitalist that, like, they're not living in a society where they literally have to put their workers at risk, otherwise they might go insolvent, then they would do it. The fact that they're an American company in the United States of America means that they're still open, and at some point I think we have to say that there's not much they can do at the end of the day if they want to still operate as the company.
Yeah, I mean, it's not me. Well, we could make it political and probably should, but not in this setting. But to do, I mean, obviously feel free to touch on the modern news, but we never did get a chance to talk about the releases. We did, as Alex said, we did touch on it on the post WrestleMania pod. Is there any surprising names there? Because I thought there was a few at least, but yeah, I mean, Rowan and the Good Brothers probably the standouts. I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago, so I'm probably forgetting some people. And Curtis Axel just got released yesterday, was it? Or a couple of days ago. So what did you make of the people being released?
Yeah, I think in terms of my biggest surprise one, maybe not a surprise, but someone that I thought they'll just hold on to because he has quite good value, was Rusev. I thought he was someone that can definitely go and make an impact anywhere he wants to, really. I don't think he would go to Japan, considering, you know, Lana is in WWE, but maybe AEW would be looking at someone like him. I think he would do really well there. As you said, Gallows and Anderson, they're another one where the world's their oyster. I know they've started their podcast again, which was hilarious. And even, I think it was Gallows, he's filed a trademark basically for his, a likening name to his Tex Ferguson character from those WWE shows that they did.
Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Yeah, Southpaw Regional Wrestling. Which was really, really funny. So it would be interesting to see what characters they come out with. after leaving WWE, because they can be a comedic act. They can be serious and, you know, go back to Japan and try and reclaim the Bullet Club. They've got so many things that they could do. But I wouldn't mind just a comedy run by them for a year or two, and then they can always get serious again. In terms of the emotional ones, obviously, Drake Maverick with his video that he posted afterwards, I think that's benefited him in terms of he's now, you know, got a prominent role in the Cruiserweight championship tournament that they're hosting. I think he was already in the tournament, but I think now there's more shine on him, whether or not he goes on and wins it. And they use this firing sort of as like some kind of storyline that could be quite interesting. But yeah, it's just a shame to see people losing their jobs. A lot of them who I think were comfortable in WWE and weren't necessarily rocking the boat. You look at the Kurt Hawkins, you look at Zack Ryders, who were, you know, company guys that had been there for a long time, never really complained, tried to get over when they could and just carried on with their heads down. You really feel for those guys, and hopefully they all find their landing spots really, really quickly. I know it's quite uncertain at the moment with no wrestling in terms of live events and live shows, so that could be problematic. But yeah, it's not a fun thing to cover, but you just hope that they come out at the end of it in a good light. I don't know if WWE were going to come out in a good light from it. The only surprising thing I've seen is there wasn't as much talk about maybe getting some sort of wrestlers union. I thought if there's ever going to be a chance to do it, this would have been it.
Yeah, it's strange about the union. It's been long talked about. I think it was one of the things that AEW, when that first started, that they were going to blaze the trail for, wasn't it? But it seems to have gone quiet, unless I missed some news on it. But you'd probably think it'd be the perfect circumstances, probably the right word for it. In now with sackings, I'm sure. Maybe AEW, TNA, etc. Maybe they've considered sackings, but the way that WWE just kind of one day just went off. Oh, here's a list of however many people, including referees, writers, and stuff like that. It's just very strange that it just seems to be lost, really.
It's also and like at the same. I don't think they necessarily needed to cull as many people as they did. I think that was a bit excessive because, I mean, they could have had their executive give up more of their money. But at the same time, there is a fallacy being peddled by certain people that WWE are flush with cash because they made a fair chunk of profit last year. And as of right now, that's not necessarily true. I think their overheads. There's a really good guy on Twitter who deals with wrestling finances, and he suggested that in terms of their actual sort of gross, what they had on hand to support themselves in this COVID era, it was somewhere around $90 million, which if you take into account the TV deals is substantially less than a lot of people think. And that $90 million is going to go. If they had to cut wrestling off now and stop for 2 months, the hit that they would have taken would have been around $100 million in terms of lost advertising, lost TV, lost everything. So not defending it at all, because it was terrible and it was an egregious sort of act of letting people go when they could have managed it better. But at the same time, again, this sort of COVID era is forcing them to do things, is forcing their hand where perhaps they would have made different choices. But at the same time, yeah, I still don't think it was the move that they should have taken. I think they could well have sliced much more money from the higher-ups and kept a lot of the people either on retainer with the government scheme or more.
Yeah, it's just strange. I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, some of the talent, what would you say, filler talent, if you're going to be blunt about it. I mean, thinking Heath Slater, Curtis Axel, I think they were just there as a body, really. I don't think WWE are going to be worried about them going to AEW or TNA or Japan and make a huge impact on the business. But what is it, the same in, what is it, 4 million per month or something like that, is it, on the releases? I think it was.
I think it was somewhere around 4 to 5 million a month they're saving, which, again, if this goes on for another three, well, I mean, it would have already saved them sort of this month. But if this goes on for another 2-3 months, you're getting onto 15 million being cut. It's still not that much in the grand scheme of things. But the other thing is, and again, it's a cold thing to say, but did they need this to be able to not have such a bloated roster? And I mean, this with the proviso that we're expecting wrestling to be one of the things that can get back to full strength, because, you know, once sport gets back, obviously things will be hit, but once wrestling gets back, this is going to be the same thing. Not much in wrestling changes. There's no transfer market or anything. So if independent wrestling comes back, you've got to think that these circumstances will eventually benefit them to be able, someone like Zack Ryder can say, all right, on the indies, come support me. It's expecting people will actually go back to wrestling to spend money. They might not have money either. But, yeah, it's not... It's hard to say this without being callous, but it could work out in WWE's favor, because we've been saying for so long that they've had a bloated roster and they needed to cut talent and they needed to stop stockpiling and just absorbing talent from the independents while they've still got a hemorrhage up the top. And this sort of glut of superstars that got released may well, you know, facilitate that, and maybe it will help creative, but it still sucks. I don't know, Taddy, do you agree? Do you think that's at all reasonable?
Yeah, I think they definitely had a bloated roster, and, you know, not just them, but with AEW coming in, a lot of the independent talent got picked up. So, you know, it was kind of the question of, would the independent scene struggle, or would, you know, new people be coming out and taking on those roles? Maybe this is an opportunity for some of these guys where, if they were fired in any other time, the independent seat might have been quite already oversaturated, but now they might have an opportunity to come in and make some decent money. I think the only thing that I would be careful about is the fact that, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, they're when WWE, AEW will pick them up or TNA will pick them up. Mm. Unfortunately, not everyone's going to get picked up. That's the reality of the situation.
They might get Rusev. Maybe he might go to NJPW. I mean, Gallows and Anderson will certainly go to NJPW. But other than that, I can't see AEW signing anyone huge. And they've just spent money on Brody Lee. And obviously, Dean Ambrose on a big contract. Whatever Dean Ambrose is called now, he's on a big contract.
John Moxley.
Who's the other one they just poached? Oh, The Revival, obviously. They're going to be on big contracts. So you'd say that in a good time, poaching three big acts, maybe four if they do get Rusev, would be sort of impressive. Post-COVID, I'd suggest that that's going to be almost impossible.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to shit on them or out, but like, why would AEW need a Heath Slater or a Zack Ryder? I mean, Zack Ryder, I mean, it's so unfortunate. What I say unfortunate, it was deliberately breaking him down. But when he was at the peak of his powers, in his popularity, he had the world at his feet. But now, after years of pretty much being buried, what could you do with him? Like, I know he was like a trendsetter with the whole social media and an internet champion and stuff. He can't really redo that because the development of social media. So there's not really much you can do. So hopefully they get a job somewhere, whether it's TNA, I mean, what is it, NWA and stuff like that. There'll hopefully be opportunities for him, but I can't say AEW grabbing all of them. Sami Zayn, today were not working in the corona era. I mean, it's fair. I mean, it's probably the right thing to do, but having your Intercontinental Champion not on TV, Andrade wasn't on TV for ages. It's very strange.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is, and I think it's going to be interesting to see if there is any fallout as a result of that. WWE have come out, and in the public eye, they have stated that anyone that doesn't feel comfortable, coming in and working, they're free to stay at home and stay safe and all of that stuff. But you always worry with the mentality that's always been at WWE of, even if if you're feeling sick, you have to come in. You have to, even if you're injured, people have been known to work while still injured just for the fear of, coming across as weak or just losing your spot because they've got so many people there. So you look at the guys like Sami Zayn who are choosing to not come in purely because of the, concerns with coronavirus, is maybe like an Apollo Crews who's been coming in, week out, now going to get be seen in a higher light over him. I think that's a possibility. And those guys might be rewarded, either sooner or later, but at some point you can see it happening. It will just be interesting to see the ramifications of all this, more so than anyone else. Roman Reigns, who's probably the biggest person currently not working, understandably, as a result of this situation.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, what do you mean? I mean, Roman Reigns is one thing, but Roman Reigns was meant to main event WrestleMania, right? You can't really bury him that much. But with Sami Zayn, who's someone who's been pretty much destroyed most of his main roster career, I imagine he'll be losing the Intercontinental title pretty soon, as soon as he's ready to come back. Or if not, they'll strip it off him.
Well, maybe. There's definitely that culture in there, but I get the sense that WWE are going to go on a very, very big charm offensive once all this is done. And look, in their mind, that's probably going to involve putting the belt on Roman, which, you know what, we'll cop. But as of right now, their charm offensive must certainly be forgiveness with the whole report that came out a few weeks ago, which was then scrutinized and pretty much confirmed to not be true, of WWE forcing people to come to work in the COVID era. Look, the report was probably based on the facts that Taddy just said, which were that in the past, there has been an atmosphere where people have been forced to come into work despite being injured because they don't want to lose their spot.
This is the same company that brought people to work in COVID-19, then sacked them the day after.
Yeah. So we can't, we cannot think of them as in any way compassionate whatsoever or forgiving or understanding. But in this post-COVID era, there is absolutely going to be a necessary charm offensive. So if they're even perceived to be treating, Sami Zayn, maybe Kevin Owens, depending on where he is, someone like, Andrade, who took, he was either injured or he took time off because of COVID, Roman, obviously, if they are even seen to be treating them negatively, then they're going to come in for a lot of heat, which I don't I don't think would be a wise move. I mean, then maybe they'll do it anyway, but I think they're aware of it. The other thing is we've seen more resistance to Vince's strong arm techniques in the last few years than sort of ever before, because Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens all didn't go to Saudi on ideological grounds. And we've seen a lot of people come out and say, no, I'm not comfortable with wrestling in
COVID. Well, to
COVID,
be fair, so. Saudi didn't want Sami.
That's also true. Saudi wanted Yokozuna. And
it's very true.
I think WWE is still working on a way of getting them. Yokozuna.
CGI next time.
Yep.
Put Disney can help wig. With that.
Yeah, exactly. Put Big Show in a wig and then Disney can add some CGI software. In terms of that charm offensive, I also think we're going to see, it's one of the reasons I think putting the belt back on the Fiend is probably going to happen. I think we're going to see more NXT people, because that was what Vince tried to do just in the Rumble when he noticed when ratings were getting very bad, sort of that September through December period. And I mean, the fact of the matter is even Meltzer put out a tweet today or yesterday, essentially saying, stop judging the ratings, stop looking at the ratings. I think someone tweeted, look at what Charlotte did to NXT, the ratings are down. And Meltzer said, stop being an idiot. That's like saying, look what Brody Lee did to the AEW ratings, or look what anyone did to
it's awkward
ratings.
That our next story is the ratings, Alex. Well, thanks for that.
But that's what I'm steering
great segue.
Because, yes, the whenever we have any chatter about ratings, I mean, from now on, there is going to be a pre-COVID and post-COVID idea. But I think the biggest story in terms of, well, not the biggest story, the bigger motivator is going to be getting ratings back up to pre-mid 2019 levels, when they weren't at 2.5-3 million every sort of 3 weeks. And there was another story of they're going down again. They're going down again. Oh, we've got Stone Cold on this episode. Now they're going down again. Oh, we got Brock on this episode. They're going down again. You know, I think they're like before COVID, WWE had issues they needed to arrest. So it would not surprise me if there's a charm offensive coming.
Well, let's move on to the ratings. thanks again, Alex. I'll give the numbers and we can talk about them. So, Raw's closing segment did 1.539 million, which is the least viewed segment in the history of Raw, according to Showbuzz Daily. Raw averaged 1.817 million viewers. That was down from last week's 1.842 million, which was an all-time low for the non-holiday show. I mean, to do, you just heard what Alex said about pretty much not ignore the ratings, but you can't really take anything from them in the circumstances. But as Alex also said, it's been a trend for a while that the ratings were coming down, but now that there's no stakes or no interest post WrestleMania, it seems to be just still coming down further.
Yeah, I think, look, obviously it's going to be something that's looked at with an asterisk in terms of how low the ratings are. And I know asterisk is a touchy subject at the moment if you're sports fans in general, in terms of whether or not titles and stuff are going to be won. But I think, from a WWE perspective, my only concern with regards to the ratings would be the fact that, you know, almost 90% of the country, if we're looking at the ratings based on the US TV market, 90% of the country is sat at home and your ratings are still going down. So are you telling me, you know, you can't even grab, you know, another 100,000 people or something? At least, it just baffles me at how many people are just not watching. So not only are you able to, I think there are over 328 million people in the United States. If not, you know, if the vast majority of them are at home and they've got nothing to watch, really, I suppose nothing to do other than watch, you know, your Netflixes and stuff like that. Other shows have shown increases and have shown popularity. You've seen the likes of the Tiger Kings and stuff that have gotten quite popular. I would have imagined being the only sport or, you know, sports-like program.
I imagine the NFL drafted big numbers, you'd imagine as well.
Yeah. So, you know, there's definitely quite a large amount of people that you'd be wanting to rope in. But the fact that they're not doing it, I think, would be a concern for me. And then it just goes into the creative that we were speaking about. The creative just hasn't been exciting enough. You know, you've spoken about not being able to watch and Alex not being able to be drawn in and stuff like that. So it's at least keep the fans that you had, but they're not even able to do that at the moment, which I think would be a concern. But as we said, there's bigger things afoot at the moment. So maybe that's what's just occupying people's minds.
After a quick Google, the NFL drafted 15.6 million people, which is probably not good. That's not good for WWE. I know the NFL's like a much bigger thing in America than WWE, you'd probably presume. But
Yeah.
I mean, the draft, it's not exactly a game as well, but I think, what does this say? I think that's pretty much the average of a watching of a match as well. So that's interesting. You like NFL, don't you, today? What was it, a virtual draft? Or was it just like filmed in people's homes and stuff?
Exactly. So they had camera crews and stuff in people's homes. The coaches were drafting from their own like homes, or sort of, I suppose, the Dallas Cowboys owner drafted in from his yacht. You had stuff like that. And then it was just kind of the commissioner was then just facilitating everything from his own home. So it was very virtual. It didn't have the whole performance that it usually does have, especially considering that this year was going to be in Las Vegas. They were going to go big. So I think just the fact, you know, listening to the people that did watch it, a lot of the reasons was we're just dying for anything. You know, we're just dying for some semblance of the NFL. That's why they were watching, which is what is concerning for WWE, in the sense that people are clearly dying for sports. And I think the more that it's not there, the more people are craving it. And I just think it's a missed opportunity to grab, not only to keep your fans, but maybe to grab some of the fans that had left a while ago. And be like, oh, yeah, I used to watch the show. And then if you have something really exciting and interesting going on, you could probably grab a few of them. It doesn't have to be, you know, huge numbers, but just at least maintain the numbers that you have.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, the comparison to the draft, probably a bit daft, but yeah, the fact that there's nothing else on. But as we said at the start, I mean, America's poor handling. How many people actually are at home?
That's the thing, and that's what there was people saying yesterday, which was people are at home, but I don't think, and this is entirely a theory, I think not having a crowd there almost ruins wrestling as a whole, because you tune in, and like, Guy, you'll know, me and Taddy usually watch it more religiously than a lot of the guys in our our group chat, and you're sort of there depending on what storylines pull you in. But if we post a link to a match that's hot, it's usually always enhanced by the crowd being just going fire. Oh,
absolutely.
For it.
We mentioned with Brock V. Drew, didn't we?
Absolutely. And if Mandy and Otis got that crowd, then the last few weeks would just be stock full of every time Mandy does something salacious with Otis, or every time Otis does that, oh yeah. You just know the crowd would pop, and you'd go, oh, I'm going to link that, put it on Twitter, share it with all my mates. And then that's how people tune in. I mean, aside from, there's very few things that you've seen clipped and put on Twitter, which to me just goes to show you how almost ruined wrestling is. And even AEW, they used to be, because AEW is so new, I'd be seeing clips on, like, I could get by without watching it, because there'd be so many clips on Twitter of like, oh, look, this match was awesome. Jericho just did this. He just did this. And even now, there's so few. And aside from, like, there's no, like, when I was watching today, I was like, the only reason that I would want to tune in live, the only thing compelling me and a lot of people, I imagine, tune in live as opposed to doing sort of anything else is NXT having Dexter Lumis, Otis and Mandy. I don't know. There's not much else. I mean, NXT's been good in terms of Johnny and Candice's heel turn, but without a crowd, yeah, I'll watch it later. Ciampa and the debut of Killer Cross and Scarlett. Yeah, when they debut, I will absolutely be there, but I know that's going to be next week. I don't have to watch the prelude to it. Like, the stuff that makes you normally so switched on to wrestling is the stuff they can hype up. But you can't hype up stuff without a crowd there to react like you're reacting. And I think that's almost ruining the product for everywhere. Because, I mean, it's the same for AEW, it's the same for NXT. It's just that WWE don't have the creative to compensate for that. Or if they do, it's being spoiled.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's a fair point. As we said, I've not watched any of it, and I've not really seen a clip of anything. I mean, the last thing I remember is getting clipped and seeing on Twitter was the Fiend John Cena promo. That's probably the last thing. It wasn't even the Fiend. It was just Bray Wyatt when he said he was overhyped, and it was like 3 weeks before WrestleMania, which, what, that must be 8 weeks ago or something like that. So yeah, you spot on there. And with AEW, I mean, After Dark, the thing, the other show, that's normally all over Twitter. I can't even remember seeing that in a while, so I think you're spot on there. But let's quickly do the Wednesday Night War stuff, which, again, it's the same shit every week. But in the Wednesday Wars, AEW Dynamite drew 693,000 viewers, which is minus 5.2% on last week's, I presume, to do, going off your story.
This past week, yeah.
Yeah. on TNT... Excuse me. On TNT, topping the 637,000 viewers minus 4.2% garnered on the USA network by 8.8%, according to Showbuzz Daily. AEW ranked number 16 in cable top 150 for the 18-49 demo, while NXT ranked number 51. AEW ranked number 67 in total viewership, while NXT ranked number 70 in viewership. Is there anything to talk about here? It seems like a standard week and they're pretty close together.
Yeah, just the fact that they're so close together. I don't think it's something that they should be boasting about in terms of, oh, I
Woo,
beat you by,
shit.
You know, it's such small numbers. Yeah, you know, just an 8.8% difference. I think, yeah, I don't think there's much to talk about there.
That's the reminder, though. That's how you know the trend, because it's not like people are tuning out of one show or the other. They're tuning out altogether. Mm. Which, yeah, like you said, Guy, they should be sitting at home watching. But, I think it's just that's the thing. Without a crowd, it just changes it.
Yeah, yeah. And these ratings are weird anyways. It's just Americans who watch it live, isn't it? That's how it's judged.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is why it's a bit of a dodgy metric, but it's what a lot of
it matters for TV deals, I suppose. That's probably it.
Yeah, it's the metric that a lot of executives and shareholders and stockbrokers and Brian Alvarez look into a lot. So that's what they'll always sort of focus on, even if it's a bit archaic, but it does give a decent indication. So
yeah. Yeah. So let's move on to next week's TV, which is all the go-home angles. And let's see if it'll actually interest me in actually watching the show this week. Right. So AJ Styles is set to return on Monday Night Raw. He will be involved in Money in the Bank pay-per-view, but that's not been disclosed yet or stuff like that. But is I'm going to guess this is the first time he'll be back since Mania, or first time he's mentioned since Mania?
First time back since Mania.
Are we getting zombie AJ Styles?
I hope they reference it at some point in time. They can't ignore it, right?
True.
They can't.
Maybe he has the Undertaker powers now. But where do you see him on in the Money in the Bank pay-per-view? Do you think maybe replace Apollo Crews or something like that?
Yeah, I'd love if he won it. I think that'd just be amazing.
Because we mentioned there's too many faces, didn't we?
Rise from the... Yes, exactly. And I can't really pick a winner because Alistair shouldn't win it because him walking around with a briefcase would just be a bit weird. And he can literally say, all right, fight me to whoever the number one contender is supposed to be. Mm. Beat him and say, all right, I'm the number one contender now. Baron can't win it again. He just can't.
I'd kind of like Alistair to be cashed in on, if you get what I mean.
Yes, that would be great. Yeah, I agree. I exactly see where you're coming from. Ray can't really win it again. His body's broken. Brian, can he win it again? He wants a lesser schedule. And that leaves who else did we say? Oh, Otis, who could win it. And
yes, he can.
AJ if he's in it.
So Otis is winning. But no, that'd be interesting. I mean, to do, would you rather AJ in it or would you rather him just have a one off match where he seems to just put on good matches when it's a one off thing?
I think if he's not winning it, I don't want him in it because he's already, you know, and I suppose he's someone that can take losses and it doesn't really matter. But I think he's needed if he's going to be a heel in the company. They don't have too many at the moment, strong heels. So I would want him to have some sort of featured singles or triple threat match where he comes out looking strong. And then you can look to build him up to possibly become a challenger to Drew McIntyre later down the line.
I mean, I'm going to hop to it, but how it is Drew v. Seth, isn't it?
Yeah.
How has that been? But I mean, I did, just to blow my own whistle, I did call that on the WrestleMania pod. how's that been booked? I mean, I think I've heard murmurings that Seth's been delivering good promos and stuff like that.
I think they both have.
Absolutely has. Yeah, they've both been brilliant.
Interesting. Because I think that makes sense to me.
The only irritating thing for me is chances are that, you know, as has become custom, that the ratings being so poor are going to be blamed on them, and which is not necessarily a true reflection of what they're putting out there. I think they're doing really well for what they're being given. It's just an unfortunate timing for Drew, and I'm scared he's going to be the scapegoat for the ratings.
I mean, didn't Vince actually mention making new stars on the investor call or whatever it was?
So yeah, he said that was one of the reasons for the low ratings was the fact that they've got new stars that they're trying to build up, and the fact that they've lost, you know, the Brock Lesnar's, who are still under contract. So I don't know, you know, saying that you've lost them is necessarily the right way to phrase it, but I get what he was trying to say. Mm. I do think it's also on you to have built those stars by now. These are guys that have been with the company for a long time. He's acting as though these are guys that they've just debuted, unless you're saying Austin Theory is the reason why the ratings are going down, which would be a bit unfair. But a lot of these guys, the Seth Rollins and everyone. Yeah, if you look at the likes of Seth Rollins, they've been in the company for a good while. So to be saying that the ratings are down because you're trying to make new superstars, you've got enough guys that should have built enough equity that, you know, you can play off of that. And it doesn't seem to be translating at the moment, which I think is probably the biggest concern for them and the biggest concern for the likes of Drew McIntyre, because I could see him being the scapegoat and then all of a sudden, you know, his title reign is cut short because they're saying he's the cause of the bad ratings. And they hotshot it onto someone else, which I think he's doing a really good job as champion. I think they should allow it to breathe a bit.
Yeah, and he was blossoming well in it with Face when the crowd was still there, so it'd be good to have him, at least an opportunity with the crowd there. So to go back into order, the Raw lineup for Monday, they should have a couple of days airtime before then, but if not, you've probably seen Raw, so it might have all changed. Brendan Vink and Shane Thorne, I don't know who Brendan Vink is. Who is that?
He's a bit random, and they're being managed by MVP, and they want to go and fight Cedric Alexander and Ricochet, who are a new team. Don't know why that's happening, but poor Shane Thorne, he was just murdered by Dexter Lumis, and now he has to come out on Monday Night Raw and probably get murdered by a Ricochet 6:30 or something. So that's not going to be great.
Okay, I've never seen that Brendan Vink person in my life. I thought Shane Thorne was in the biker gang one. I can't, the Forgotten Sons. I thought he was in there.
Forgotten Sons, no. Yeah.
Am I thinking of someone else?
Jackson Riker, maybe.
Oh, I'm thinking of Buddy's old teammate.
Yeah, or, Wesley Blake, yeah.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of, yep. Was Shane Thorne, he was in the Australian tag team, wasn't he?
Yeah, TM61. Then, what's his name left? Because he wanted to go be with his family. Nick Miller.
Right, okay. Right, confusion apart. I don't know who these are, but I thought MVP would manage the other half of this match that's getting rumoured, but Cedric Alexander and Ricochet, I mean, seems a waste of both the talents, but at least they're on screen and potentially a tag team. I mean, I think we know why they're put together. They're black, underused, and jump about.
Athletic. Yeah,
yes, athletic. That's the word we're athletic looking for. Athletic is the word, yes. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's a waste of the talents, but at the same time, it's good they're back on TV after multiple buryings, I suppose.
Just the fact that they're not necessarily winning all their matches, though, which is weird for a newly formed tag team.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Mm.
It's, well, you saw it's the usual for the formula for one partner is about to turn on the other partner when they're sort of like setting something up, but this team's only been around for like 3 weeks, so it's so strange.
I mean, who have they been feuding with? Or who have they been against? That's probably the more important question there. Has it been against strong teams, or have they, like, lost to, I don't know, jobbers?
Who did they lose to? Vikings or...
The Viking Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, Viking Raiders they lost to.
That's not too bad,
a couple
least.
Of jobs, I think.
Because Street Profits were losing to the Viking Raiders, and then they won at WrestleMania. So it's not too bad, I suppose.
The Street Profits have barely been on TV as well. Raw's very weird now. It's very strange. I mean, we'll probably come to it in a sec, but other than the main event scene, it's completely interchangeable. Like, you could be like, you go out and you say something, and then someone will come out and attack you. It's just it's very odd.
But now I know who Brendan Vink is, or now I know what he looks like, at least. Drew McIntyre v. Murphy, which sounds potentially like a great match for a TV match.
Also stems from a fantastic angle where, end of last week, Taddy will have seen it, with Seth hugging Murphy and then dodges out of the way at the very last second because Drew's coming up, charging him from behind with a Claymore. The Claymore collects Murphy. And Drew slides out of the ring in the whole disciple taking the fall for the Messiah thing. I love that. I love that so much. But the match should be good.
It's good that Murphy's still there because obviously with the AOP getting injured, they may have just fucked off the Monday Night Messiah thing. But it's good that Murphy's still in a good position.
And the other thing, which I know Teddy will almost certainly want to talk about, is Liv Morgan is a nice shining light of Raw because she's excellent and her finisher is fantastic.
Is she getting pushed in the title picture?
She's beaten Ruby Riott twice, so I imagine so.
Interesting, because Raw's women division. I mean, I know they must be doing Shayna, I suppose. Again?
No, they're doing Nia.
Oh, God.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's put me off watching. We've got Nia in one and Tamina in the other title match. Jesus Christ. Awful.
The big lasses are taking over.
Yes.
Teddy, do you think Liv's finisher is the best finisher on Raw at the moment, other than the Claymore?
Trying to think who else is... Yeah, I'll probably give it to her. I think also the fact that it's something new, something that we haven't seen really before, especially in WWE. So it just brings that freshness, and it's something that can come out of... Hopefully, it can come out of nowhere. It's one of those type of finishes, like a Claymore, like an RKO, like a Codebreaker, where it can suddenly end a match. It's always cool to have a finisher like that around.
Black Mass. It's probably it's top three.
Yeah.
Black Mass, Claymore, that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's Black Mass is. Yeah.
I'm sorry, guy. I'm going to YouTube this finisher. I've probably seen it, but I can't remember it. But next matter, what was it? Street Profits v. Viking Raiders. Is that the feud that's getting billed for the Street Profits? Because I imagine the Raw Tag Team division outside of them two is not that strong anymore.
It's pretty non-existent. But I think... The premise of the build is pretty cool in that the Street Profits haven't beaten the Revival before. I mean, sorry, not the Revival. The Viking Raiders. And the Viking Raiders have mentioned the fact that every time the Street Profits have won a title, it's just after the Viking Raiders have, not been in the scene. So, for example, after Viking Raiders left NXT, that's only when the Street Profits won the NXT titles. And then also, the Viking Raiders never lost their championship. And, the Street Profits have now gotten the championship. So, if it wasn't for them not being in the scene, Street Profits wouldn't be champions. And, of course, because she's a genius, Bianca Belair has brought it up, in canon. And she's berated the Street Profits for that. She's told them to get more serious, which is just, it's a certain level of genius that only a certain few do have. It should be a good match. I think this one's a non-title match, which considering WWE booking 101 means that the Viking Raiders are going to win. And the commentator's going to be like, oh, that must mean that they should be first in line for a title shot, which is it's become such a redundant way of creating number one contender for me. They need to get away from that for a while.
You brought up commentary. Is King gone now after his stupid comment the other week?
This past week, he wasn't on commentary. It was Samoa Joe that took his place.
If that's permanent, that is... absolutely smashing, but it probably won't because we're not allowed nice things. So the last match on advertised for Raw is the Gauntlet match to replace Cruz. Is there any participants named yet? I mean, we kind of hope it'd be AJ Styles, but is there any other people mentioned?
Yeah, probably Jinder, who unfortunately I've been reminded of existing. Jinder Mahal is probably a strong candidate. Who else, Teddy? I can't think of anyone else.
I think it's all the guys that lost their matches. So probably quite a few of the... So Austin Theory, Garza. Maybe Andrade might be thrown in there. I think, yeah. So I think it's going to be a lot of the guys that lost their matches, hence the last chance. And then I think bringing in Jinder, just the fact that he's come back, he's been cleared. He had sort of like a match last week where he got to show he's a former WWE champion. So you can see they're building him from that perspective. He's not going to be a jobber for a while when they start throwing about the fact that
he's
a former WWE champion. Yeah.
That Money in the Bank match is going to be terrible. Like, I know
it's a cinematic. It's WWE cinematic.
That's true. That's the only hope for it. But, like, they don't, apart from Ray, who's 120 years old, there's not much scope for madness there. I mean, Otis can do fun stuff, I suppose, but, yeah.
And the fact it's not in a ring, I think they can get away with a lot of.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's what will help them.
Hmm. It's a shame about Apollo, because it'd be a good setting for him, but maybe he'd be probably more suited to the ring setting, I suppose. But if Jinder wins it, for the love of God.
I just think maybe because he's had so much shine these past few weeks, the fact that he's not going to win it, I think it's actually better that he's been taken out of it.
True.
If you're building someone up and you know they're not going to be winning that match, I'd rather have them not in it then be in it and you have that sort of loss on their record or in front of
people's eyes.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point. We'll do the full preview next week of that when we actually know who's in the bloody match. And I keep forgetting SmackDown's on Friday, so we can't even do that now. but anyway, Friday Night SmackDown, it'll just be meh, but Jeff Hardy will appear. Sheamus says he wants to see Hardy. What, this feud sounds like it's from 2009?
They're both so old now. So very old.
Yeah, that doesn't really interest me. Bray and Braun will face off, which, I mean, we kind of expected it, maybe without the main title in there, but it's going to have the main title in there. Yeah. Is this a feud that actually interests you in this setting?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to say, because the match could be the pits. Yeah, it's been good. I like the black sheep thing. I like the callbacks. Bray always makes it good. Braun as champ, like, as we've discussed, does absolutely fuck all. But if it's a way to get Bray the title again, I'll be relatively pleased. I will also ask why the hell they took it off him in the first place, but needs must.
Because Goldberg is a bell end. But that's not news. And the main event, Tamina Snuka and Lacey Evans v Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, my God.
It's happening,
Lance. Don't, Tim. Don't put that out there. Do not put that out there.
We're having Nia Jax on one as the champ and Tamina as the other. And then they're going to win the tag title.
Why did you put that idea into the world?
They're going to...
You reprobate.
They're going to Kurt Angle main event Mafia this shit. Every title between them two. It's going to be amazing.
God. I just... Why? Why? I mean, I like the slow burn of Sasha and Bayley. It's really burning. But they could have had anyone. And it was freaking Tamina. Although baby. Lacey's getting better.
Baby face
every week. No. Every week I see Lacey and I'm like, oh, she's improved. She's getting better. Which is good. Usually you don't notice that until it's like staring you in the face. But I mean, it's I think her character probably needs a bit of work rather than I'm a military mum, but she's certainly improving in pretty much every facet.
Have you seen her outside of WWE, though, in terms of her, I think, like Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that? She is a pure baby face. You can see in terms of even just something small, like every fan that writes to her, she keeps all the letters and then she picks which letter of, you know, which fan's letter to put into her boot. She's got a little compartment on her wrestling boot that allows her to keep the letters of fans. So each week that she wrestles, she puts a different fan's fan mail into her boot. And then if you look at the stuff, she shows you in terms of stuff she does with taking care of her daughter, taking care of her family. She's basically like an all-round, like, power woman, like a superwoman type. But in WWE, you know, the fact that she's become babyface, but she's still using a lot of the heel tropes that she had when she started off, I think they need to get rid of those and just start showing the real person that she is. And I think that would translate a lot more than the character they're showing now.
Yeah, I'd forgotten completely about the notes. She is, yeah, you're absolutely right. She is a complete babyface. And it, like, that's the thing. She does it really well, and I think that's what's improving about her. She's more comfortable in her skin and more comfortable with what she's doing every week. But I do think she probably needs to get rid of the... I don't know. I've always been a bit skeptical
about...
The
nasty thing, just maybe?
Yeah, well, the nasty thing especially, and the whole fan...
You're nasty.
Yeah, nasty. The fanning herself is very sort of pompous. But the closed fist as a finisher, I've always been really skeptical about. The difference being here is she hits it really well, so maybe you can keep it. But I don't know, I'd prefer...
She's got the best working punch, I think, in WWE at the moment. in my opinion.
She does, which is probably why they've
given it looks phenomenal.
It looks amazing. Yeah. And the sound she manages to make every time is class. But yeah, I don't know. As a babyface finisher, I'm not sure. But certainly she's improving a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's still I say this having not seen it for a few weeks, but I think she's still suffering from the Southern Belle bullshit against Becky Lynch in presentation sense. But she had from the bits I saw when I was watching, she definitely had improved, and you could see maybe post Bayley v Sasha, whenever the hell the fallout of that finishes, you could see a title run there easily, I reckon. And last thing before we finish up is Brian Gulak and a mystery partner versus I'm not saying King Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin. I'm done with the King bullshit.
On commentary this week, it did pull a smirk from me. What's Corey Graves said? He used to be called a Baron, but now he's King Corbin.
Yeah, that was a great line. Corey is clever. When Big E won the titles, Big E was dancing on Michael Cole and then danced on Corey, and Corey just went limp and his face was just totally icy, like, get me the hell out of here. It's the little things that he does actually quite well. It's just, when he goes over the top, it's a bit like, well, he's not as bad as JBL, but when JBL used to go over the top, he was insufferable. I think it's sort of the same for Corey.
And Corey's been running the ropes and stuff with his brother. So I know he's keen to get back in the ring, whether or not he does.
He said to Edge that he wanted to get the name of his surgeon and try and... And look, I love Corey Graves. He was amazing in the ring. Lucky 13 was a brilliant finisher. But God, one of these guys is going to come back from a neck injury or a concussion thing and get another neck injury. And it's going to be really bad one of these days. So I'm always weary of it. But do we think the mystery partner might be either Gable or Ali?
I'm gonna have to stamp that out right now and just temper your expectations. It's gonna be Elias.
Ah, fuck! It is, isn't it? That sucks.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Shit!
I was thinking of all these. Could it be Shawn Michaels or maybe you know? Bring someone back, and then it's like
someone
all right,
from NXT.
It's gonna be Elias.
It's gonna be Elias.
Just on Ali and Gable. Is there anything on the Hacker thing? Because they're rumored to be one of those two. Isn't it rumored to be both of them?
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
That's the thing. So with that, the cool thing is that WWE have used more than one voice. Even though the voice is it's been changed. What they've done is they've used a couple of voices. They've used Chad Gable, Ali, and Xavier Woods three so far. And I think, you know, in an effort to just plant seeds of who could it possibly be, I would be ecstatic if it turns out to be all three and it becomes some sort of faction where you see Xavier Woods pull away from the New Day a bit, as much as I don't want them to break them up. But if you are going to, you could do it that way. And then in terms of Chad Gable is always good in a tag team, so you could have him in that trio. And Ali obviously needs a push, but I wouldn't mind Xavier Woods sort of starting his own thing. To say, look at the New Day. When I got injured, you guys and you kind of forgot about me.
Because them two need a voice guy, don't they? Really?
Yeah, I don't know if they can do it on their own necessarily, or be trusted by the WWE to do it on their own. We know Xavier and the New Day get licensed to pretty much say whatever they want. That would be my only thing. If it's going to be all of them, I think that could be cool, but. My money would be on it being Ali.
Well, the curious thing was that the second last truth vignette that came out with the Hacker saying the truth comes out, and then he said something else along the lines of, you know, some people take some people take things, some people give them, whatever. And focused on basically all these four tag teams. Like, first it was Miz and Morrison. This was while the truth overlay, the truth comes out overlays, was going on. Miz and Morrison, Bayley and Sasha, the Usos, and the New Day, which made me go, oh. And obviously this stemmed from the whole thing with Fire and Desire, and like, truth comes out, you can't trust anyone. But the fact that they had the New Day at the end made me go, and it was Kofi and E, made me go, oh, that's interesting. Could be nothing completely, but I think the idea they're sowing seeds for, especially with the report that came out that WWE were looking to break up a team, is that he's got some information about a tag team that could pry them apart. So maybe, I don't know.
To be fair, out of that, the New Day makes the most sense. Because do you need this angle for Bayley and Sasha?
Not really. No, you absolutely don't. You don't need it for Miz and Morrison, because who goes face there?
Why would you split them up as well?
Yeah, but you can't split up the Usos, because that would be suicide.
I mean, the time they split up, one was injured, the other went on commentary, which says a lot about the singles push there.
And also, they've been sort of this brand of the Usos for like 4 years now, since 2015, and they're still cranking out amazing matches. So why change? Why change a good thing?
Absolutely. I mean, as we say, it doesn't have to split up Big E and Kofi. But you can bring it Xavier back and split it up that way. But I'm kind of the opposite. I wouldn't mind splitting up the New Day completely, to be honest. I'm all for
if
a,
it's the
I'm for a Big E push.
If it's the only way we get a Big E push, then I'm fine with it. But I would still prefer Big E to get a face singles push with the New Day behind him. But that's just obviously
right. Good turn, Kofi.
If they guarantee that the New Day will come back together after like 2 years or so, then I would be happy to see it. I just don't want them to split forever.
Did it with the Shield.
That's my only concern.
It's true.
The Shield was
also... Sorry, say again.
I was going to say the Shield reunited after what? 3-4 years? Probably even longer, to be honest.
That was far more acrimonious. But I just want to see Big E do the 5 count again.
Get his old music as well. That was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was a banger.
And bring back he got a lad Langston back on his name as well, because he just sounds like a hard bastard.
He does. He sounds like a big just dude that will smash your face into the ground. The issue with Big E getting a singles run is. A face singles run is I just have this conception of the internet being like, okay, now do Kofi now. So like the comparison between E and Kofi will be made, and if E doesn't necessarily win, or if he goes heel, or I don't know, I'm just weary of them in terms of, you know what the internet's like. They're never happy with what they have. So I'm very scared. No, and that's the thing. That'll be next. They'll be like, okay, turn Kofi heel, which could happen, but I'm weary of the internet getting what they want and then tossing it out in the same way.
I think you could do. I know we're kind of a bit stretched for time, but a Kofi heel turn sounds pretty easy. I was screwed out the title. I was brought back to use. I came back to use, and I'm back in the tag team picture when I was kind of on my own. I was WWE champion. It's an easy turn.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could see it. In terms of right now, I'm looking at who they can turn. I mean, if we take more than just those tag teams, there's not that many. That's the thing. They're creatively booked themselves into a corner in that the amount of long-term planning they do is almost none. The turns that they have done have actually worked really well. If you look at Seth, sort of Aleister Black becoming this sort of tweener rather than just a pure face. Brian going back to face, that's worked.
We do need more heels, like.
But that's exactly what I was about to say. I was like, well, who do you take? Who do you go and say, all right, turn heel? I mean, someone like Apollo would be great to give him more character work. Or you split Angel
Apollo's
Garza
on,
and
Apollo's on Raw, isn't he, though?
That's true.
Yeah. We've got AJ.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was thinking there'd be another superstar shakeup, but I guess that's not happening now, is it?
So we need someone on SmackDown to turn heel because Baron.
Yeah,
it's Baron. It's too much.
And Bray is pretty much a face.
Yeah, that's the thing. If we kind of go back to Big E or Kofi, you can't see any of them beat. Like, we all know Roman's going to topple the Fiend. It's not going to be like Big E or something like that. I mean, it'd be cool if it was Big E, but we know it's going to be Roman eventually.
Yeah. And again, I'm not displeased with that, but now I'm just thinking, once Roman wins, who does he go on to face? Not Baron again.
Big E v. Just Roman anybody would be cool. That.
Yeah, it would be fun.
And not to be a lazy stereotype, but we saw Keith Lee, Big E. You could see similarities there. They could put on similarish. I know we only got Survivor Series, but Big E v Roman. If we get even just a flavor of what we had with Keith Lee, that's got money in there.
Yeah, I can see it.
Or we could just bring up Keith Lee and do that.
All that.
Yes.
What about you, Teddy? You see anyone?
I'm struggling to think of who could possibly come in.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, they're bereft of good heels at the moment, which is why I didn't want AJ in that match, because you got to build him up. I mean, they've tried to build Sheamus up, but I think he's going to be in a program with Jeff Hardy.
He's 100 years old, man.
Yeah, maybe they could do something where, without people noticing, they move people. For example, if Samoa Joe gets cleared, just move into SmackDown. Yeah. Because it's all being filmed in the same place, on the same, you know what I mean, in the same area. I think that's probably the best way to go about it. Otherwise, they're not really got anyone that they can just plug and play in there.
I wouldn't mind AJ. I think AJ going back to SmackDown would make sense.
Would be fun. Sammy, if they start having him wrestle again, would be fun. I don't think you can turn Kevin. He's too hot a babyface. Kevin's on Raw. What am I saying?
I think you could put, if you put Sammy by himself and put him on Raw.
Yeah.
That's and then put Andrade. That means you'd have to have Charlotte on SmackDown. You could just take the belt off Andrade, I suppose. Which they'll probably do. I think SmackDown needs a shake up rather than everyone needs a shake up, because SmackDown has one heel, and it's Baron Corbin, who's the most oversaturated person in the world. But yeah, that'll be interesting. But that's pretty much, without doing the full thing for Money in the Bank, is it just something to watch, or are we actually looking forward to it?
For me, I think it's just curiosity more than anything. But my worry is, once they do one of the matches, is the novelty going to be finished by the time we get to watch the second one, in terms of whichever one, the women's or the men's Money in the Bank, whichever one goes first?
Oh, is there a women's one as well?
No, it's at the same time.
Oh, God.
It's been announced that they're happening at the same time. They're both going to be happening in, obviously, Titan Towers, and the briefcase is going to be hanging up beside each other. I think it's got confirmed. It's, if not confirmed, it's been heavily reported.
Who's in the woman's one?
Dana, Carmella.
It's not a good
Nia
start.
Nia Jax.
Oh, God.
Shayna.
Asuka.
Asuka, that's the fifth.
This all sounds bad.
Well, Asuka could win it. I don't think they'll give it to Shayna, because it's the same thing.
You can't give it. They'll give it to Nia, won't they?
A big person.
The only big person who's won a Money in the Bank is Kane. The Jew, a big person winning a Money in the Bank.
Yeah, but Kane cashed in the exact same night. You can't have Nia cash amazing. In the same night, because Alexa did the exact same thing to her.
Is Becky
weird.
Not on the Money in the Bank card?
Becky hasn't been on Raw in weeks.
Hasn't she? Interesting.
Becky's basically, I think she's taking time out, to be honest.
Yeah,
because she had been rumored to wanting to take time out in any case, and but she's also Yeah, but she's also set the stage in that she's effectively challenged the whoever's going to be the winner.
That doesn't make sense.
So I don't think she's going to have a singles program like Money in the Bank type, but I think maybe she's going to confront the person that wins it, which then does lead to the whole Naya suggestion, because they've got a history with, you know, what happened with her and Naya and Naya breaking her nose. So maybe if Naya wins it and then Becky just outright calls her and they don't turn it into a secret, it just becomes a one-on-one match as a result of that, could be a possibility.
The Braun Monster in the Bank effect.
Oh, I forgot he won that. That was fucking awful.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a big person.
And then he lost.
Yeah. No, he didn't lose.
Brock didn't win.
It was a disqualification. Yes. The hell of a spell. Jesus Christ.
And it would not, let's not.
But no, we'll do Money in the Bank probably, I don't know, after Raw, so maybe Tuesday or Wednesday.
Can I just say, I am looking forward to it purely because of that match. The Money in the Bank ladder match is going to be whack.
And we saw the WWE Cinematic Universe is better than Marvel's. Let's be honest.
It's in full swing.
it's also, two for two.
I know it was slightly lambasted on Twitter, but I did actually quite enjoy the Cinematic Universe action movie that was Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. I thought it was.
I've not seen it.
It's not bad. It certainly was not what I was expecting from the reaction to Twitter in terms of even like style. It was a really intense action film, and I think people were expecting it to be sort of Boneyard match levels. So, I mean, I would go into it with an open mind and actually sort of enjoy it for what it is, which is a storyline ender. But it was nowhere near, obviously, their other matches had a crowd.
The interesting thing about that one, though, is it was shot before Boneyard and Firefly Funhouse, but it was shown after. So I don't know if that impacted on how the others were shot, because they had already this kind of test run with it in terms of from a production standpoint. And then from a fan's perspective, you've already seen two that were, well, one that was universally liked, I think the Boneyard match, then Firefly Funhouse, which was polarizing, whether you liked it or not.
Polarizing, yeah. But brilliant.
and then I think people maybe are worn out having seen two in quick succession. That's the only problem with WWE, I think that's exactly oversaturation.
Right. Yeah, they do that a lot. And you're right. It was interesting when Hunter said that on Graves' podcast, wasn't it? When he said, oh yeah, we did Johnny and Tommaso first, and we were hindered by the fact that we had to put it out 3 days after Mania, and you just go, oh yeah, I can understand now that the oversaturation was a thing. But also, having one for each show isn't necessarily oversaturation, but I would have waited a month.
It's a good point. I might have to go watch that, because I've not watched anything in weeks, so I might just be the only person who actually loves it.
Check out Dexter Lumis, guy. A recommendation from both me and Taddy.
Is that the
Pawn
Tash guy?
Yeah, with the Stranger Things music and the entrance.
I'm in.
And if you're going to watch anything from NXT, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, he showed up in the main event 2 weeks ago or a week ago as Velveteen Dream's partner for, like, discernibly no reason whatsoever, and it was still fantastic. He just showed up. He was just like, I'm your partner now. And everyone went, yes, you are, Dexter. We like you. Let's go.
To kind of finish on a sour note, has there been any update on the Velveteen thing?
No, and I am avoiding that extremely slippery slope. I was going to bring it up, but it's all allegations. He's obviously come out with his side of the story. In terms of covering it, I think that's the most we can say.
Yeah, well, let's not.
yeah.
And, well, hopefully you've not done anything, but if he is, I'm used to calling people nonsense. yes. hopefully it's not that guy, but I'm ready. But yeah, we'll talk about that once there's actually information about it. But is there anything else we want to bring up before we go? Take that as a no. but I'll check out Pawn Tash guy. And you mentioned Stranger Things as well. So that Pawn Tash and Stranger Things, I'm in. but that's it. That was PWI. We somehow still went an hour and 40, even though we're just talking about news. And I've not even watched the bloody show. And we've still got an hour and 40. So that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back with Money in the Bank preview, as I mentioned a few times. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.